Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the fourth quarter results conference for ISA and its companies. We are joined today by César Ramírez, ISA's Acting CEO and Chief Electric Power Transmission Officer, Carolina Botero, Chief Financial Officer, Olga Patricia Castaño, Chief Strategy Officer, and Ernesto Carrasco, Chief Road Concessions Officer. My name is Diana Cardona, Investor Relations Specialist. At the end of the event, we'll have a Q&A session. During the presentation, you can ask these questions through the window that appears on the right side of your screens. Please provide your name and the name of the company you represent. To begin the conference, I would like to give the floor to César, who will present the highlights of the quarter. Go ahead, César.
Thank you, Diana. It's a pleasure to be with you today. To begin with, I invite you to move to the next slide to review some highlights of the fourth quarter of 2021. In 2021, ISA and its company executed investments for 4.2 trillion Colombian pesos, 48.6% of these investments in Brazil, where the acquisition of PBTE was completed in the first quarter. In addition, we have the progress of the construction of electric power transmission awarded to ISA Satepi in past bidding processes. We also advance in Peru in the Coyayana and Chincha-Nazca projects, and in Colombia in the execution of several UPMES projects that also have advanced in a very important fashion. In Chile, the expansion of two substations of the Inter-Chile grid, Mine de Sigio and Pan de Azúcar. And also we progress in the construction of Rutas de Lo, third lanes in Maipo, and other road projects in the rest of the country's road concessions. On the other hand, the most important milestone of the year was being awarded the bid to build and operate the Kimal Lo Aguirre line of more than 1,400 kilometers, one of the most important transmission projects in the continent, in Latin America. In Chile, it is the first direct current line, and this will allow connecting the energy from renewable projects in the north of the country to the center and south of Chile, thus leveraging the decarbonization of the energy matrix. It is also important to highlight that ISA Satepi will develop the first large-scale battery energy storage project in the Brazilian transmission system. The installed capacity will be 30 MW with a storage capacity of 2 hours in the Sao Paulo litoral. This project will include additional grid reinforcements and will benefit around 2 million people in the southern area of Sao Paulo. The system will operate at peak times of grid consumption, ensuring safety and reliability in the provision of the service. It is expected that the enter into operation will be in November of this year. The estimated income, it's about 27 billion reals. It's about $5 million. Let's move to the next slide, please. As always usual, we are going now to report on our progress in the social, environment, and governance, ESG, with the purpose of continuing strengthening the independence and neutrality of XM as operator and administrator of the Colombian energy market. Since the national government and Ecopetrol signed an inter-administrative contract for the purchase of the church owned by the state in ISA, some commitments were established to comply with these permits. In this sense, great progress has been accomplished, At the extraordinary meeting held at the end of 2021, the new board of directors of the company was approved, comprised entirely of independent members with respect to ISA and Ecopetrol. Also, female representation was strengthened as it went from 20% to 40% participation. Also, we're working to ensure the termination of the unity of purpose and management between ISA and XM and between Ecopetrol and XM. Today, XM is not part of the Ecopetrol company group. ISA maintains the regional recognized leadership as one of the companies with the best and most avant-garde sustainability, corporate governance, ethics, and transparency practices. This has been ratified by international institutions as important as the Dow Jones Sustainability Index, which for the seventh consecutive year recognized us as one of the companies in the region with the outstanding performance in environmental, social, and economic matters. Another good news is our connection Jaguar program, Jaguar, which received this year's Bóscares Award from WWF Colombia, Acción Climática, and Reforestemos for its actions in favor of forest conservation. Finally, in 2021, we also aim to be a reference as a diverse, equitable company. This is why we are immensely proud that ISA parent company, ISA Intercolombia, ISA Transalca, and XM have obtained the Equipares Silver Seal for labor equity for their firm commitment to the implementation of the gender equality management system granted by the Ministry of Labor and the United Nations Development Program in Colombia. The company's results were outstanding, as the total average female participation of the four companies reached 32.7%, while the average for the energy mining sector is 29%. Let's move on to the next slide, please. I would like to take a few minutes to tell you about the progress of ISA and its companies in innovation in 2021, which, as you know, is part of the strategic dimension to ensure corporate validity through time. As an initiative to leverage economic revival in the region, ISA and Rock Start launched a call for an acceleration program aimed at 10 startups in Latin America that will generate a positive social and environmental impact with their technology. The call received more than 320 applications from more than five countries. The selected projects will be connected with the entrepreneurship ecosystem in the region, where Rock Start will put them at the service of its entire community of investors. On the other hand, at an internal level, we have promoted the identification of challenges in our operations and processes to seek innovative solutions supported by the innovation ecosystem. Some of these challenges were developed by interdisciplinary groups and later presented at our knowledge and innovation events. Others were launched to the external ecosystem to work with our partners, startups, and universities, obtaining very positive results. In 2021, we received several external recognitions, where some of our companies were awarded for their progress in both projects and innovation culture. Another achievement this year was that XM was able to export more than 1 million carbon credits from Colombia projects through its Eco Registry and Eco Trade platforms. Finally,
ESA SETEPI will operate the first digital substation, which represents a digital transformation milestone. The project will double the energy supplied in the Valle de Paraíba region with the South Pablo state and will bring benefits such as greater availability, efficiency, and reliability. During 2021, we invested $19 million for the acceleration of the innovation system and in projects that seek to increase excellence and competitiveness of the current business and create a social impact and environmental impact. In addition, in Colombia, we obtain tax benefits for more than $12 billion for projects that have received the approval of the Ministry of Science, Technology and Innovation. Let's go to the next slide, please. 2022 will be a year of big, interesting challenges for the consolidation of the largest energy group in Latin America, through which we will become stronger in order to increase our competitiveness and participate in large projects in the future. In this sense, we are working with Ecopetrol to ensure value generation for both companies through the search for an implementation of synergies. We have identified more than 50 ideas translated into 8 categories with work initiative. Today, we prioritize those initiatives that allows us to capture, materialize, and some of them are ESA's entry into the United States leveraged by Ecopetrol's successful experience in that country, joint management of some sourcing categories that can represent significant cost savings, and the provision of electric infrastructure services. We will be updating you on the progress of this joint effort. So now let's go to the next slide. And I will give Carolina the floor to go further into the explanation of the financial results of ESA and its companies. Thanks a lot, Cesar. Good morning to everyone. As always, I'm very happy to speak to you today. I will present the financial results of ESA and its companies for this quarter in detail and for the 2021 year. Let's move to the next slide to know the most important milestones that will help us to understand these numbers. Here we can see a summary of the main milestones by quarter that marked the year in financial terms and that we have been explaining in each of our conferences. First of all, we must say that the 2021 results were very positive, considering, as we told you a year ago in the fourth quarter 2020 conference, that this year there would be no extraordinary events for ESA SETEPI, such as the periodic tariff review and the adjustments to the RBCE defined by Enel, which represented additional revenues on additional EBITDA for 1.1 billion trillion pesos, and that was translated in additional income for ESA of 250 billion pesos in the 2020 year. At that conference, we also told you what we would be in 2021. Let's take a look at these commitments. The first, the entry into operation of electric power transmission projects in the different countries where we operate. Second, the consolidation of PBTE. That, let's remember that it starts as of April 2021. Revenues for a full year from Orasul in Peru and in the Roche Costera in Colombia. But besides these positive effects expected for the 2021, there were others that helped us to more than offset the one-off in ESA SETEPI Brazil at the revenue and EBITDA levels. They were Oh, number one, the IPCA performance in Brazil resulted in higher revenues of 830 billion pesos and the IPP for 84 billion Colombian pesos. Also, in Brazil, in the second quarter of 2021, Enel recognized the capital costs for additional 3 years to complete the period until the tariff review. So that's June of the year 2020. This resulted in additional revenues for ISA for 313 billion Colombian pesos. Finally, at an income level, in the third quarter of 2021, two non-recurring events occurred that we explained in the former quarter presentation, and they were the recognition of the debt reprofiling costs in Interchile and the change in the income tax rate in Colombia as a result of the tax reform. Together, they had a negative impact on income of more than 420 billion Colombian pesos. So, if of the results of 2021 we exclude these two non-recurring events that affected income specifically in September, we would have in 2021 an income of 1.4 higher than 2020. That let us remember that that have the 250 because of the recognition of the capital cost on the RBCA of this SETEP. Now, focusing on the fourth quarter, the two most relevant events were, number one, the positive impact on our revenues due to the entry into operation of projects in Colombia, Brazil, and Chile by the end of 2020. And second, the upward performance of the IPC, Broad Consumer Price Index, and the IGPM, General Market Price Index in Brazil, and of the IPP, Producer Price Index, and the TRM, Market Representative Rate in Colombia, which contributed to higher revenues and income. These two effects led both revenues and EBITDA grow by 16.3% and 18.6% respectively, compared with the fourth quarter of 2020. Net income totaled more than 450 billion Colombian pesos, with a decrease of 50 billion Colombian pesos, mainly due to higher financial expenses and lower results of the jointly controlled companies, as it didn't take into account the impact of the incorporation of the construction margin in the fourth quarter of 2020, according to the CVMS pronouncement. Finally, as part of our strategy to 2030, ISA position itself in the international capital market, diversifying its financing resources and taking advantage of its attractiveness in terms of liquidity, depth, and diversification. In this regard, in November, ISA successfully completed its first bond issuance in the international capital market for $330 million. The issuance has a total term of 12 years and an interest rate of 3.82% and an oversubscription of 4.3 times the amount offered. The issuance, listed on the Singapore Stock Exchange market, had investors from the United States, Canada, Europe, Asia, and Latin America, among others. The proceeds didn't increase the company's debt level as they will be used to replace internal and external debt. But this is one of the beautiful things. Through this operation, We reduced the exposure of the debt portfolio to the IPC and increased the participation of USD debt, taking advantage of the international bonds as a hedging instrument for the company's investment portfolio in USD, mainly Peru and Chile. Let's go now to the next slide. For the fourth quarter of 2021, total revenues reached 3.1 trillion Colombian pesos, 16.3% higher than in the same period of 2020. This increase is explained by the following events. And let's start with the electric power transmission business unit. First, we have the entry into operation from the end of 2020 of the projects Connection Moquegua, Papujune, and Connection Talara in Peru. In Chile, the second transformer bank at Cardones, Maintecillo, and Pan de Azúcar substation, Nuevo Pan de Azúcar, Polpasio reactive compensation, and expansion of Nueva Maintecillo and Nuevo Pan de Azúcar substations. In Brazil, the Nova Porto Primavera Rosana transmission line, the entry of EI Iguapei and EI Itaipura, the installation of three synchronous compensators, and the energization of 41 reinforcements and upgrades during the quarter. And finally, in Colombia, the AAA connection and the incorporation of the UPME interconnection Nor Occidental. Secondly, and again by geographies, we find the following. Brazil, we have high revenues mainly to the inflation adjustment of IPCA of revenues in ISA, CETEPE and its companies. That represented 136 billion Colombian pesos. And the incorporation of PBTE for 74 billion Colombian pesos. In Colombia, we have higher revenues for 81 billion Colombian pesos, mainly to the incorporation of the aforementioned projects, but also higher revenues from connection services and the effect of higher IPP and TRM that were higher. In Peru, we had higher revenues of 24 billion Colombian pesos, mainly due to the exchange rate effect. And of course, the road concession business unit presented an increase in revenues of 16.4%, equivalent to 60 billion Colombian pesos, and mainly as a result of higher returns from contract assets and revenues from maintenance in concession and toll management in Chile. Partially offset by the termination of the Ruta de Maule concession contract. Now let's talk about construction revenues. The increase in operating revenues in the quarter was partially offset by the 16.6% drop in construction revenues. Explained, among other reasons, by lower revenues in Brazil due to the decrease in the construction margin and by the fact that in the last quarter of 2020, the retroactive favorable impact of the CVM's pronouncement on the incorporation of the construction margin was accounted for. At the accumulated level, and despite not having the ISA CETEPE 1 in 2020, operating revenues grew 9.8%, being at 11.2 trillion Colombian pesos. Let's move on to the next slide, please. As a result of the above, for the quarter, EBITDA increased by 18.6%,
reaching 1.8 trillion Colombian pesos. EBITDA margin, excluding construction, went from 67.4% to 72%, ratifying the solid operating behavior of ISSSTE and its company. Operating costs totaled 1.2 trillion Colombian pesos, 13.1% higher than in the same period of 2020. Regarding this, it's important to understand the dynamics of both construction and administration operation and maintenance costs that we call AOM. Construction costs increased by 15.5% to higher activity in Chile, Peru, and Brazil, partially offset by lower activity in Colombia due to the entry of 100% of Ruta Costera and the termination of the Ruta del Maule concession contract. AOM total 690 billion Colombian pesos, representing a growth of 11.3% compared with the same period of 2020. This increase is mainly explained by the consolidation of PBTE, the entry into operation of new electric power transmission projects, and an increase in conservation and maintenance costs in road concessions in Chile due to the increase in the UF and the resumption of works during the quarter. So now for the accumulated amount for the whole 2021 year, what do we see? First, we see an increase of AOM of 9.6%, a lower number than the operating revenues of 13.2%. This solidifies ISSSTE's permanent commitment to the efficient management and rigorous control of expenses. Second, EBITDA increased by 8.4%, reaching 7.1 trillion Colombian pesos. EBITDA margin, excluding construction, went from 75.3% to 76.1%. So let's move on now to the next slide to learn more about the behavior of the net income. When we talk about the 2021 net income, I would like to highlight that the important part here is that we accomplish a net income that is 5% higher of what we budgeted for the year, reaching 1.7 trillion Colombian pesos. Now, when we compare 2021 against to 2020, what we need to take into account? Number one, as it was anticipated a year ago, that 2020 is not a good comparison foundation, taking into account the non-recurring events already mentioned that took place in ISSSTE SETEPI and that generated net income of 250 million pesos. The second thing that we need to take into account is that we have two events non-recurrent in the rise in the third quarter of 2021 that impacted negatively the income in 420 million pesos. That they were the reprofiling of the successful placing in the international business of ISSSTE Inter Chile, and second, the updating of the deferred tax of the Colombian companies due to the tax reform. All of the above explains the mathematical fall of the income of 19% when compared against the close of the 2020. But if we take into account those impacts of the third quarter of 2021, as mentioned before, the accumulated income will reach 2.1 trillion Colombian pesos, an increase of 1.4% compared with the previous year. So now let's go to the next to explain the graphic. As we observed, the component that contributed the most to the increase of the income is the operating income because of the new projects mentioned, also the cancellation of PVT, and because of the behavior of macroeconomic variables, especially in Brazil and in Colombia. This ratifies the solid behavior at the operation level of ISA and its company. And of course, the component that decreases the most are the net financial expenses, with a growth of 70% regarding 2020 year, due to the non-recurring event explained in the third quarter, related with the recognition of costs linked to the reprofiling of the debt of Interchile, in addition to the indebtedness, to the increase in the indebtedness to finance the growth of the group and a higher expense by the different exchange rate. Let's go to next slide, please. So now let's take a look at some financial indicators. ROE reached 11.6 December 2021, reaffirming our behavior to grow with profitability and generating sustainable value to our shareholders. This indicator decreased when compared with the 2020 closure due to the aforementioned non-recurring effects recurring in the third quarter. However, we continue to offer a double-digit ROE to our shareholder, which is very attractive considering the nature of our business. This means predictable income over the long term with low volatility. In other words, we offer our shareholders a risk-return ratio well above other investment alternatives available in the market. As we have seen, EBITDA margin, excluding construction, was 76.1%, which is a sign of a financial strategy focused on the permanent profitability of our operations. The debt EBITDA indicator was 4.1 times. This figure continues to be below what is required to maintain our current risk rating, which allows us to continue leveraging ISA's growth according to the ISA 2030 strategy. Let's move on to the next slide, please. As of December, the consolidated financial debt amounted to 28 trillion Colombian pesos, an increase of 23% compared with December 2020. This is mainly explained by, number one, the international issuance of green bonds in Interchile for $1.2 billion to restructure the debt from the construction stage of the project, which improved the company's capital structure and freed up resources for shareholders to finance new projects. Second, in Brazil, the issuance of bonds and the debt disbursements in ISA SETEPI for 1.9 trillion Colombian pesos to finance the lots of water in 2019 at the end of this year. And finally, a net exchange rate effect of 1.9 trillion Colombian pesos due to the devaluation of the Colombian peso against the real and the USD dollar, and the revaluation against the Chilean peso. The debt indicators remain stable and within the limits defined by the risk rating agencies, as the increase in the debt has been accompanied by higher EBITDA generation. Let's move on to the next slide, please. This is a new chapter that we would like to show. for you to see the perspective of ESA and its company for the 2022 year, and to give you a lot of different reasons why we see ESA as a very attractive and profitable investment for this year. Let's go to the next slide, please. What do we expect in terms of income for 2022? Look, we'll obtain additional revenues for 42 billion Colombian pesos per new UPMES, Sabana Larga Bolívar, Ocaña, and El Río substation, and more than 3 billion Colombian pesos from connections based on non-conventional energy sources. In Brazil, we have the entry into operation of Itaúnas, Biguazú, and Tres Lagoas, with an annual revenues of 71 billion Colombian pesos, and of the jointly controlled companies Aymores, Paraguazú, and Ibaí, which will contribute annual revenues of 384 billion Colombian pesos. All these that will present a growth between 7 and 11% of the net income when compared with 2021. Now, there are some situations that could mean higher profits, as the prevalence of inflationary pressures in Colombia and Brazil, which, as you know, are the indexers of our revenues. Also, being awarded different growth opportunities, some of them linked to acquisition process of ongoing companies as has occurred in recent years, which would generate EBITDA very quickly in our financial statements. Let's move on to the next slide, please. Our committed investment plan for the next 5 years amounts to 12.7 trillion Colombian pesos. This capex by country is broken down as follows. Around 45% in Brazil, which includes the reinforcement plan and improvements to the Satepe grid, as well as the capex necessary for the installation of the battery bank mentioned at the beginning of this presentation. In addition, we estimate investments in IEMG, Eversi, Itaúnas, Iguazú, and Riacho Grande. 21.7% in Colombia, with El Río, Sabana Larga, Cerro Matoso, Cuestecitas, and Sogamoso, La Loma, openings, and smart valves in Transalca. In Peru, we'll continue to make progress in the Coyayana and Chinchanazca projects in CTM. The remaining 21% will be executed in Chile. This includes ESA Inversiones Chile's contributions to the Kimal Luaguirre project, where our interest is 33%. Also, in this country, the execution of CAPEX continues for the regulatory safety works in the current concessions and the execution of works in Ruta del Loa. Remember that these investments correspond to those already awarded to ESA and its companies. And what we expect is that this amount will grow as we are awarded new bids or acquire ongoing companies has occurred in the past. This is why in the following slide you will see the portfolio of greenfield opportunities that we have identified in the region for this year, as our growth strategy doesn't stop. Let's move on to the next slide. As we mentioned, for 2022, we have a pipeline in the region for more than $6 billion. Most of them are concentrated in Colombia and Brazil. Colombia accounts for 34% of these opportunities.
In electric power transmission, the UPME has pre-published seven national transmission system projects for which it is expected that the final selection documents will be published during the year, thus officially opening the corresponding calls for bids. In the road concessions business unit, also in Colombia, ISA is starting its participation in 5G bids. Some of them are in pre-bidding and others already in the bidding process. Brazil accounts for 33% of the opportunities represented in two Enel tenders in the middle and at the end of this year. In Chile, we expect several electric power transmission calls for bids from the National Electric Coordinator for the construction of new transmission lines and substations. In addition, we'll have the Ruta del Bosque rebidding and other existing concessions. Finally, in Peru, we highlight interconnection Peru-Ecuador stands out. Besides these opportunities already mentioned, we are paying attention to anything that could happen in M&A possibilities in the region, always seeking not only the continuity of the business, but also an attractive return for our shareholders. Let's move on to the next slide, please. Finally, last but not least, I would like to reaffirm that all our efforts aim to repay our shareholders for their trust, not only by making their investment increasingly profitable, but also by making the best decision for their well-being and to achieve a better future as a society. This is, for us, generating sustainable value. Delivering for our shareholders has been and will continue to be an imperative for ISA. We have been working hard to warranty that their returns maintain a balance between an attractive remuneration via dividends and ensuring the resources to leverage the expected growth, which will ultimately result in a greater value for their investments. All the above as part of a very careful leverage discipline, closely observing our debt EBITDA indicator. Accordingly, at the general shareholders meeting to be held next Friday, March 25th, the proposal for 2022 will be to pay an ordinary dividend of 749 pesos per share, which represents 50% of the net income for 2021. This proposal shows that our dividend continues to maintain its upward trend, with an annual growth of 17% in the last 7 years, well above inflation in Colombia and well above the performance of other investment alternatives available in the market. As you may recall, that represents a dividend yield of 3.3%. As you may recall, last year, we distributed a dividend of 70% of our net income that was comprised of an ordinary of 40% due to ISA's dividend practice, and that is based on delivering about 40% or 50% of the profit, and a 30% extraordinary due to the incremental dividends received by the affiliates, mainly originated by the one-off in ISA SETEPI, that was the recognition of the cost of capital on the RABSE assets and the periodic tariff review. And that was translated in income
additional income close to the 1 trillion Colombian pesos. With the purpose of continuing strengthening our corporate governance practices, the board approved to elevate to policies the practice of having a 40-50% dividend of dividend. With this, we are reiterating that balance between a good pay to our shareholders and a sustainable growth in the future, in a very healthy financing strategy. With this announcement, we materialize one of our strategic pillars to generate value to our shareholders. I thank you a lot for your attention, and I will give the floor again to Diana to begin with the Q&A session. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, Carolina. So we open then this space. We have a lot of different questions that we're going to try to answer. The first question is from Andres Ruarte, Copy Colombiana. He asked us, what is the battery bank, and if there's going to be any more storage possibilities in the region? I will answer that question, and it's a very interesting question, Andres. A battery bank are lithium batteries arrangement. Is not different from the technology that is used in some appliances. The difference is that these big set of these batteries, there's a kind of panels with those batteries to get to the capacities that we mentioned. Physically, they end up being some modules set up in some containers. That's one of the most common ways they are installed. But besides the battery element, which is very important, what it provides the possibility of interacting and connecting to the grid system, where is where we operate, is the control systems. It has some control systems that allows that these power banks are synchronized, of course, to the energy system, and they can, as you mentioned, to store energy at that times where there is an excess of demand in some cases. So to allow with that storage of energy or electricity to be able to deliver that electricity when there is a peak. This works because of these characteristics to eliminate restrictions of limits of conduction of electricity getting to a node, connecting it temporarily, as in the case that we mentioned in Brazil, 2 hours, and it would increase 30 megawatts of that node, allowing to supply that additional demand without the need of having to increase the capacity of the grid installed. So that is a clear example how a battery bank can actually eliminate restrictions of capacity in the distribution of transmission of electricity, and also it has other important characteristics for the power systems. Has is actually stabilized voltage, regulate frequencies, and maintained the necessary balance between the offer and the demand. So now, these solutions are solutions that every single time the people in charge of the planning of the power systems are taking into account that try in order to try to resolve these restriction conditions and to improve the conditions of the service. In Colombia, there's already a call for bids that was for Barranquilla. That's another call for bids in Brazil. As we explained, in the south of the São Paulo state, the Registro substation, and now we're seeing that from the different systems of the region are starting to adopting this technology. So we have an estimate that this is a market that is going to grow, of course, due to
its characteristics, and taking into account that this is a very important aspect, power systems, every single time they need to move into that flexibility to be able to respond properly to the installation of these new renewable non-conventional sources of energy or power, has solar and wind that have a very high variability. But these devices, as I mentioned, are going to allow to manage this variability, and that's a characteristic that it's going to be necessary in the power systems. Therefore, we foreseen a development in this technology in the future, and that's why the importance that ESA or ESA's companies that we start getting into these type of projects. Thanks.
Thanks a lot, Cesar. We have two questions from Anglo McCarthy and Credit Core. The first question is that we have debt refinancing plans, and the second is, how is the hedging of the indexes in revenues versus the inflationary pressures in costs and capex? Go, Carolina, please.
Thanks, Cesar. Andrew, thanks a lot for the questions. I would start with the second question that you asked. To give you a work that we always do with the most important financial exercises, I'm talking about budget, I'm talking about financing planning that are long-term projections. But in the last one, we analyze basically that you're asking for, and it's what happened with the main results of the company if in the indexers of each of the countries where we operate, the inflationary index would increase more or less 100 basic points. The net impact is a positive effect. Why? Because let us remember that if we go to Brazil, where there's a higher impact due to these inflationary effects, 100% of our revenues in SATEPI is indexed in the EPCA. And we know the behavior that EPCA has been having. So to give you an example, 100 basic points of more in IPCA, it had an effect to us in EBITDA of 124 billion pesos. And at the profit level, because let us remember that we only collect 36% of this result, and also it's part of what you asked, Andrew, out of the impacting costs, at the profit level, this value is translated in a positive impact in 30 billion Colombian pesos. And we did the same for all the rest of the indexers. IPCA in Brazil, in Colombia, we need to take into account the IPP, which is an indexer of big part of the revenues, but the IPC, which is the costs. In Chile, we took into account the IPC and also the IGT, that is the indexers in the 70 and 75% of our revenues of tax. So when we do the math, the positive effect of adding 100 basic points to these indexers, at EBITDA it would be 2.2%, and at net income of 0.4% positive. I hope that with this, I have answered your question to that first part. The second part of your question has to do with debt refinancing plans. We permanently work in optimizing our capital structure. As a proof of that was the beautiful operations that we did in Interchile last year. And now we are working in doing the same for Costera, which is one of the big upsides that Costera has to us, and is able to obtain an optimization in the financial part. I would say that's the immediate operations that we have in mind, but as I mentioned before, it's a task that we permanently execute
to the list, and he's always thinking about optimizing capital structures and financing at the level of a portfolio. The same happened with the so successful operation of the issuance of bonds in Colombia, through which not only we accomplished everything we mentioned during the presentation, but also to decrease our weighted financial cost in more than 100 basic points. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, Caro. Diego Huitrago from Bancolombia. Maria Alejandra Noriega, another people ask about our advancement, and it has to do with the entry into the United States. Diana, thanks for that question. About that, I would like to inform that since 2021, we started a consulting with McKinsey to have an update understanding of the industry in the United States and propose alternative to enter. What is next? What we have to do is to identify the objectives and the selection of the best options. So, with all these analyses, we are seeing about how we approach this market. This is a topic that it's been, of course, taken to the board of director for its analysis and next steps. Thank you, Cesar. Alfonso Lopez from Portafolio asks, what are the opportunities of new businesses this year in energy transmission as well as in the road concession business? As it was very well announced by Carolina, the company continues with a growth strategy in business that is very aggressive. And as a matter of fact, we are looking at transmission as well as roads. In both businesses, we have the two typical sources of growth, the brownfield, and we have greenfield in roads as well as in transmission. I'm going to enter a little bit about the electricity transmission, and then I would give the word to Ernesto Carrasco, who is the chief executive officer of roads, for him to explain a little bit more about all the details that is happening in that department. So now, in electricity transmission, what do we have? We have, in Greenfield, we have in Colombia, we are starting today projects of about $270 million. There are two very important projects, that is Al Caravan substation and transmission lines, and La Paz substation. This is connecting Boyacá with Guaviare y Guaviare Arauca to have an idea about the size of that project. And there are other projects, Cabrera substation, Carreto substation, Paso Caballo substation, there a new one in Barranquilla. So we have a very important series of projects. In Ecuador, we are starting also starting a project. Yesterday, that was seen in the media, that there's already the directive for Enolazo to establish the conditions for foreign investment. So we looking in very carefully a project which is North Oriental Transmission System. This is the oil region of Ecuador, and that's a project that is about $290 million. In Peru, equally, you know, we're very active. We also looking at projects of about $1 trillion. There is a line which is the 500 kV in Piura Nueva Frontera, which is the interconnection Peru and Ecuador, that is very, very important to continue with this interconnection that today we arrived to Ecuador, and to have the possibility of going to Ecuador, Peru. I think that's a project which is of a strategic importance, but an older connection, so 220 kV, Requin, Caguatero,
the Tumbes substation. We also have a big project that we are starting already. That is a connection of 500 kV, wanted to catch a Calin Trujillo. So that's a very important list of projects that we are studying already to be able to participate on that. Chile is also offering opportunities, not the ones that we just won of last year, but there are still a group of projects. One of them that is very important is, or is very close with a transmission line, that is the new Laguna 500 kV came on. So I think that this is a project that is parallel and reinforce the direct current project that has been very awarded. In Brazil, there are two call for biddings. The first one that we're going to have now in June is a bidding that has 13 projects that add more than $2,000 million. We are talking about $1.4 billion, and those are projects, and there is a lot of different projects that are in Minas de Gerais and in Sao Paulo. That and Greenfield. So now, in Brownfield, we've seen also some assets in Brazil, in a platform of an investor that is starting. I cannot talk about it. We have an agreement, but we are starting the possibility of some assets, of a very important investment. And also in Chile, we have a platform that we are starting that also is protecting information until to an MBA. So what I want to mean with this is that we have a very important list of projects that we are analyzing. We are making an effort to try to be successful with some of them to contribute to that path of growth by 2030. So the detail of opportunities and roads, I will give the floor to Ernesto for him to tell us a little bit about what it's been in that area. Cesar, thanks a lot. Good morning to everybody. Regarding to roads, what we've seen is that infrastructure investment is going to continue being a very important factor for American Latin America to close gaps, to improve competitiveness in the region. In that regard, we see that there are active governments. In Colombia, we find the government with the five generation of concessions, which is a multimode program. Our interest is centered in the roads. And there are two processes that are open that we are following with a lot of interest, what is Magdalena Troncal 1 and Magdalena Troncal 2. Those are the roads that connect Puerto Salgar con Barranca Bermeja and Barranca con San Roque. Those are biddings that should be taking place next month of March, April. And with a water in May in Chile, there's also a very active plan of re-bidding by the government. This corresponds to projects that were a bit in the 90s initially, when they returned democracy. There are strategic assets that connect the exit of Santiago with some populations, and they're located on the road number 5, which is the highway that goes from north to south. Chile. So there are a lot of rebiddings that are in process already. There are two projects specifically that were launched and that we are following. One is the concession between Chingay and Curipuji that corresponds to our Ruta del Bosque concession. That is a bid that present offer in June, awarding in July. And the other one is a very important project, which is the connection between Santiago and Lima.
This corresponds to 68 Road, and these four concessions at $2.2 trillion. So that's what we're working right now in greenfield projects, and also looking at opportunities in brownfields in the countries that are of interest in our region. Thanks a lot to both of you. We have a lot of questions, and we're very happy for that interest, Nisa. We're going to answer two questions more because time is running out, but the other questions we're going to send a reply through email. A lot of people are asking about what are the possible operational synergies that we have identified with Ecopetrol. Patricia, please. Thanks a lot, Cesar. Yes, to that question about the people that asked that question, I think it's a very important one because there is a work this year in 2021 besides closing the topics of financial with this integration with the Ecopetrol Group. There is an identification of ideas or possible synergies. Many of them happen based on the initial conversations between the teams of ISA and Ecopetrol. And those ideas were classified in eight work groups that are having some conversations to identify how possible those synergies are and which of them could be materialized this year. Those eight group works are in three blocks, ones that are response to current operations of ISA as well as Ecopetrol and how they are. We're talking about infrastructure, electrical infrastructure of Ecopetrol, and how ISA can actually provide some services to optimize those operations of Ecopetrol. We're talking about linear infrastructure with Sanit, and also we're talking about value capture in procurement. Those three work groups in current operations. We also have some work tables about transversal topics in operations like cybersecurity, environmental management, and science, technology, and innovation. And finally, there's a third block that puts together two working tables more, new businesses of energy and energy transition, and the entry into the United States. That third block with these two working tables answer to those joint possibilities of growth of Ecopetrol as well as ISA in the topics that are presented in the strategy, but that correspond to new opportunities. The advancement is all these tables, work tables. It's going through a four-phase path. First, getting to know the works of the teams, an ideation of the possibility of synergies, a prioritization of which of them are more possible to execute and doable in the short term. And finally, each round table is building for those synergies, prioritize and schedule, a work schedule to materialize these benefits. Important to highlight, and also there's work in each of these eight tables, I would highlight a lot the advance that we have in the current operations, specifically in what it has to do with electrical infrastructure in Ecopetrol and how ISA can actually generate benefits. For example, savings in AOM, storage for operations, in acquisition of existing connections or new connections, and also in storage that is being identified some important topics where we can actually generate savings by the joint management of some of the categories. Thanks a lot, Patricia. The last question comes from Andres Duarte, Corpi Colombiana, and is if the increase of the 2021, excluding the non-recurrent, that also are excluding the non-recurrent of the 2020 effects. Cesar, if you allow me to answer that question. Go ahead, Carolina, please. Andres, thanks a lot for that question. Look, when we mentioned during the whole presentation
that if we excluded these 423 billion Colombian pesos from the two non-recurring events that we accounted in September 2021, because of the effect of 5 points more in the rates, tax reform, and this successful operation in Interchile, we finish with a profit of 2.2 billion that is higher than 1.4% to the 2020. But this doesn't take into account the 2020 non-recurring events that were positive, as we mentioned, more than 250 billion pesos in profit. It would exclude the 2020, and we compare 2020 without this 250 and 2021 without that punishment of the 423, our net income in comparable terms would have increased 11.4% in 2021. Thanks a lot. So thanks a lot to everybody for being with us in this conference. We expect you to be back here for future meetings. And the questions that we couldn't answer in here, the team would answer to you. Thanks a lot and